सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्परां श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पाद शङ्करं लोकशङ्करं शङ्करं शङ्कराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः श्रीचिन्मययतीशस्य गुरुं वन्दे तपोवनं तं हिमवद्विभूतिं वै ज्ञानवैराग्यरूपिणं समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम् ॐ भद्रं कर्णेभिः शृणुयाम देवाः भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभिर्यजत्राः स्थिरैरङ्गैः सुष्टुवागंसस्तनूभिः क्षेमदेवहितैर्यदायुः स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः सुजाता हरि ओम् टुडे वी विल् बी डूइङ्ग् चाप्टर् 3 सेक्शन् 2 मन्त्रस् 5 6 7 चाप्टर् 3 सेक्शन् 2 मन्त्रस् 5 6 7 प्लीज़् ओपन् दट् इफ् So you can follow. And if you need me to call upon you to repeat after me, please turn on your camera. If your camera is off, then I'll understand that you do not wish to be called. So last week, we had talked about desires, and desires are the reason we have birth. Not only in this life, wherever we end up is because of desires. Like we were in New York and we had a desire, we came to Bakersfield. But also from this life to next life depends on our desires and our karmas. And so as long as you have a lot of vasanas, lot of desires, you will keep going through birth and death repeatedly. And how to become desireless? One is, of course, by reducing activities, reducing mental, longings, but also ultimately only when you realize the self, become one with that, then you become totally desireless. That's what the Rishi says. Connect with Bhagwan within, and that is where all your desires are fulfilled. Then you have no more need for anything in the world to make you happy. And then the two mantras we saw that this Atma cannot be revealed by pravachana, by talks, by lectures, or by knowledge, intellect. Those help us, listening to Mahatmas or applying our own thinking. But finally, this Atma will only reveal itself, the consciousness, when you choose it exclusively. That is what I want alone and nothing else. So one who chooses Atma, then Atma chooses. So like if you exclusively choose Bhagwan, then Bhagwan will, obviously make you, then you become worthy of that. And then the third mantra we covered was that this Atma, those who are weak mentally or physically, don't put effort, who are lazy, will not get this knowledge. Only who put the right effort and acquire this knowledge will get it. So we'll do number five. Hansa, Ben, you have this. Samprapya enam rishayo gyana triptaha.
संप्राप्येन मृषयो ज्ञानतृप्ताः
कृतात्मानो वीतरागाः प्रशान्ताः।
भूतात्मानो वितरागा प्रशान्ताः।
ते सर्वगं सर्वतः प्राप्य धीराः।
ते सर्वगं सर्वतः प्राप्य धीराः।
युक्तात्मनः सर्वमेवाविशन्ति।
युक्तात्मानः सर्वमेवाविशन्ति।
Either you can mute, सम्प्राप्य एनं ऋषयो ज्ञानतृप्ताः, कृतात्मानो वीतरागाः प्रशान्ताः, ते सर्वगं सर्वतः
सर्वतः
प्राप्य
प्राप्य
धीराः,
धीराः।
युक्तात्मनः
युक्तात्मनः
सर्वमेवाविशन्ति।
सर्वमेवाविशन्ति।
So now, what is the benefit of getting this knowledge? They say, oh, you have to control your mind, do karma yoga, study, get knowledge, get up early in the morning to meditate, detach from the world, all these things they are giving instruction. And is there any benefit? What is the benefit? So Rishi says it very beautifully. Sampraptya enam. Enam means this atma, the self, having acquired samprapya. Sam means very well acquired, very well understood. Right now you understand I am atma, I am self, but when you have a complete abidance in this knowledge, that is called samprapya enam. Rishaya, rishis. Rishis are the ones we will talk about briefly. And jnana triptaha, and who are contented with their knowledge. Kritatmanaha, they have accomplished their life's purpose. And vitaraga, and they become free of desires. And prashantaha, they become peaceful. So these people get satisfied with knowledge, their purpose in life is fulfilled, all their desires are fulfilled, their mind becomes peaceful, and they become one with Sarvagam Sarvatra, that Atma, that consciousness, Brahman, which is all pervading everywhere. They become one with that. And Dhira, Dhira means wise person, having acquired. Acquired does not mean Brahman is something I have to go acquire. I understand I am that and abide in that. And Yuktatmana, and they become one with this Atma, the self. And they having attained, and they become devoted to the self. They become connected with the self. Sarvam eva avishanti. Sarvam, they enter into everything. So samprapya, we already talked about one who has completely abiding in this knowledge. Rishis are the ones who have prama. Prama, this is, there is a pramata, pramanam. So pramata is the knower, pramanam is the proof, the instrument that we use, and prama is the final knowledge, and prameya is the object. So one who has seeking an object, or one who is seeking knowledge gets it, is said to have prama. And so rishis are the ones who have accomplished the highest knowledge. Then they become very content with knowledge. See, we find in this world, people look for contentment in different things. Some people look in money. Okay, if I have money, money, more money, more money. But then there is no contentment. There is no end. Person has 1 million, wants 5 million. One who has 1 billion wants 2 billion, 5 billion. Then others, people look for contentment in people. How many contacts I have, how many people are, regard me as superior and all that, and name and fame. Others look for contentment not in acquiring money, but in spending money, in shopping. So they want to buy this, buy that. But there are very few who are content with knowledge, and that is where we should seek the knowledge. That's where you should give priority, that this is my main goal in life, is to acquire knowledge. And krita kritya means they have accomplished. Kritatmana, krita kritya means they have accomplished their life's purpose for which they got human birth. भगवान इन द एंड ऑफ द 15th चैप्टर ही सेज इति गुह्य तमम शास्त्रम इदम उक्तम मया नघ एतद् बुद्ध्वा बुद्धिमान स्यात् कृतकृत्यश्च भारत. दिस नॉलेज दैट आई हैव गिवन यू इन द भगवद गीता इन द 15th चैप्टर ही सेज वन हु गेट्स दिस नॉलेज ही इज द बुद्धिमान, ही इज द ट्रू वाइज पर्सन एंड ही इज कृतकृत्य, ही हैज अकम्प्लिश्ड हिज लाइफ पर्पस. एंड हाउ डू वी डेवलप दैट? सो दे से डेवलप योर स्पिरिचुअल पर्सनैलिटी. Most of us spend time in other things, physical personality. You know, I want to become healthy, I want to exercise, which is good, but then all their effort is spent in that, you know, getting plastic surgery, you know, Botox, all those. Then others mentally, you know, how many friends I have, how many people love me. And the third is intellectually, how much I know. They are on the internet, Google, this and that all the time. But there are very few whose purpose is to develop their spiritual personality. No doubt other things are important, but the most important is spiritual personality. And raga means they do not have insistence. First of all, they have excessive demand, attachment for objects, and then strong insistence that I must have it or else, you know, so they are willing to do anything. So this insistence should not be there. Yeah, you have preferences, you want things, but the insistence. Then prashantaha. Prashantaha means they reduce their vyapara. Vyapara means the interaction with the world. Does not mean they become hermit, but they limit unnecessarily traveling here and there, unnecessarily, you know, talking to people, meeting people. They limit how much their contact. That's why in Bhagwan, in the Bhagavad Gita says, you know, yatha samharate chayam kurmonga niva sarvasha. Just as a turtle withdraws his limbs when he senses danger, so a wise person withdraws his senses when he finds them getting attached to sense objects. But the wise person is not only like a turtle withdraws. Where he needs to expand, he will expand. So if he goes to a place and somebody is asked for knowledge, if he has the knowledge, he will share the knowledge. If somebody needs help, he will help. But where it is required, after that, he is content with the self. That his withdrawal can only happen when you are happy inside. And then dhiraha, we talked about dhiraha is the one vivekaha, who know that there is only one Atma. In Sankhya Yoga, there is one school of teaching where they say, well, there are as many individuals, that many Atmas. Prakriti and Purush are separate in each one. But Vedanta says the Prakriti has built the variety, but the Atma is one, and that I am. And that is called Dhiraha. And then yuktatma means one who is always connected with the self, seeking the self, and is always willing to do spiritual. If you say, oh, you would like to sit and meditate, yes. You want to come to my house, we are doing puja, yes. You know, most people will go if they're invited to a party, but when they are invited to a puja, they find the reasons to be busy. But such a person is always willing. So having what is the criteria of a wise person? It has sarvagam sarvatah prapya. They acquire, they become one with that Brahman, which is all pervading everywhere. Then again, he says in the next last line, sarvam eva avishanti. They enter everything. So the one you say they become one with everything, and second you say they enter everything. That difference is jivan mukti and videha mukti. Jivan mukti is while living, this wise person becomes one with the totality, knows, and then he doesn't have to give up his body. Shankaracharya ji says, some people say, well, if he becomes enlightened, then he's no use to us because he gives up the body. If a wise person would give up the body, there would be no realized masters to stay and tell us the truth. So they remain in this body, and whatever their prarabdha karmas are, they continue without any idea that these karmas are mine. And that we'll talk about karmas in the subsequent mantra. But they become one with the totality. And the second is they enter. So when they say they enter, that means it is videha mukti. After having given up the body, then they become one with the totality. The example is like the pot. Again, it's a very, we use it in every class. There is space in the pot. Now the space in the pot knows I am one with the total space. The pot doesn't need to break. The space realizes I am one, that total space, and I are one, that is Jivan Mukti. But if the space only realizes after the pot is broken that I am that, then that is Videha Mukti. Not that Videha Mukti is anything inferior, but it is just a different way of, they are both enlightened masters, one while living, other one while giving up the body. And then the third, Krama Mukti, we have talked about, where they go and in Brahma Loka, they understand. So that is the blessing of this person who becomes one with the totality. He is content with knowledge. He has accomplished his purpose. All his desires are fulfilled. Mind becomes peaceful. And they are always attached with the self. They become one with the self. A beautiful mantra which tells us what is the result of getting this knowledge, which is we all want to be peaceful, we all want to be accomplished, we all want to be happy, we all want to be content. So this is the method that is given. Now we'll do mantra number 6. Sujata, do you have this?
Yes.
Vedanta vijnana tu nishchitarthaha. You can unmute. You muted accidentally.
No, I think I have a different one open. So give it to someone else. I'll do next one.
Okay, you can do the number 7. Pallavi, you have this? You can unmute. So this is chapter 3, section 2, mantra 6.
Yes.
Vedanta vijnana sunishchitarthaha.
Vedanta vijnana sunishchitarthaha.
Sanyas yogat yataya shuddha sattvaha.
Sanyas yogat yataya shuddha sattvaha.
Te brahma lokeshu parantakale.
Te brahma lokeshu parantakale.
Paramrita parimuchyanti sarve.
Paramrita parimuchyanti sarve.
We'll all chant together. Vedanta vijnana sunishchitarthaha sanyasa yoga yataya shuddha sattvaha te brahma lokeshu parantakale paramrita parimuchyanti sarve. So this mantra is used in when we welcome Swamiji's. You know, we say na karmana na prajaya. Those of you who have memorized that, this is part of it, Vedanta Vijnana. This is actually also appears in Kaivalya Upanishad and Mahanarayana Upanishad. So it is in multiple Upanishads and also here in Mundak. Very, very beautiful mantra of these wise person, how they have progressed in their life and how they reach their ultimate goal. Again and again, the Rishi is giving us advice. So these wise people are Vedanta Vijnana Sunishchitartha. Vedanta Vijnana means the knowledge of the Upanishads, the highest knowledge. Sunishchitartha. Nishchita means they are clear. Sunishchita means completely clear. They have no doubt about the knowledge in the Upanishads. again, we'll talk about how they have acquired knowledge, and sannyasa yoga, and with the yoga of renunciation. Yataya means they have put effort. They have sincere effort, and shuddha sattvaha, they have purity of their mind. And then these people, Brahma lokeshu, in the worlds of Brahman. What do we mean by worlds of Brahman? We thought Brahman is one. What is this world? We'll talk about. Parantakale means at the time of death. Antakale means at the time of. Para means the final antakale. One is, that we have in sleep, where you go, but this is the final antakale at the time of death. Paramrita, they having attained immortality, parimuchyanti sarve, they become liberated for all time. Then they do not take another birth, they do not go through this cycle of birth and death. So let us see who are these wise people. So Vedanta Vijnana Sunishchitartha, they have completely convinced themselves of this knowledge of Vedanta, not only the word knowledge translation, but it is very suggestive knowledge. See, all these Upanishads suggest to us how to find that highest truth. Just as a finger is not the moon, but a finger you can point out where is the moon behind the branch to your friend. So same way, the Upanishads are the finger that point us towards Brahman. And how have they acquired this knowledge? At the feet of the guru. The guru is very important to have the right kind of teacher who can give us this knowledge. In our case, we have Puja Gurudev, Swami Chinmayananda, whose commentaries we all read. I would request everyone after this class to reread Swami Chinmayananda's commentary. Very beautifully, Gurudev has done that. So their knowledge is so clear that even if you wake him up in the sleep, who are you? He'll say, I am Brahman, I am Atma. They will not that they don't know who they are, but they have so much clarity that even in the deepest sleep, they know who I am not. I am not this body, mind, intellect, Chidananda Rupaha, Shivoham, Shivoham. So they know what is the Paramatma Tattva. Then sannyasa yoga, renunciation. Again and again in every scripture, the importance of renunciation, vairagya, is given. In fact, Guruji, once somebody asked him, why can't he progress in spirituality? He said, tumme vairagya ki kami hai. You have a lack of renunciation, withdrawal. So here, the withdrawal, it doesn't have to be physical. Yes, somebody wants to put on orange clothes and join an ashram is good, but even as a householder, what is renunciation? Gurudev says it is mental. Physically, yes, you withdraw from objects, but in the mind, if you are still longing for the objects, Bhagwan in the Gita says, mithyacharasa uchyate karmendriyani samyamya. Aste manasasmaran, one who has withdrawn from the objects and saying, oh, I won't do it, but his mind is still thinking. It's like an alcoholic, he breaks all the bottles in his house, but his mind is still thinking. So here the withdrawal is mental. And then yataya, we said, those who have put sincere effort. Shuddha sattvaha means those who have purified their mind. Complete purification of mind. And Gurudev says that they remove negativity. So where there is anger, greed, jealousy, they substitute with love, compassion, sharing, unselfishness. Even in the prayer of Saint Francis, where there is anger, let me sow love, where there is, jealousy, all that. So removing all the negatives from our mind and substituting with positives is called Shuddha Sattvaha. And then it says Brahma Lokeshu, in the worlds of Brahman. So they say, how can Brahman have worlds? Because where there is Brahman, there is no world at that absolute level. So they said this is for beginners. When the student first starts teaching, she always thinks Brahman is somebody far away, or they say Bhagwan is where he's in Vaikuntha. Vishnu Bhakta, Shiva Bhakta says Kailash, Krishna Bhakta says Golok. So, and they think that after death I will go to Vaikuntha, and there Bhagwan Vishnu will be standing. I'll have, darshan and all, which is good if you want to do that. But the true understanding is that Vishnu is everywhere. Vishnu means what? All pervading. So if
Existing.
Bhagwan Vishnu is all pervading, then we don't have to go to Vaikuntha. Right here itself, you can reach that. It's like Ghatakash and Mahakash. Just as the pot space and the total space are one, so they have understood that. And Parantakale, at the time of death. Now, death again, one is the physical death, one is giving up the ego. See, when an atma consciousness identified with body, mind, intellect thinks I am the body, mind, intellect, I am this limited ego, and then it suffers and all the sorrows, and when something is gained becomes happy. But one who has detached from dependence on physical, mental, and intellectual things, he becomes I, that I am that spiritual I. Then no longer he or she identifies with this body. Of course, for functioning, you have to say, I am a female, I do this, I do that, I am Indian, all those things. But mentally, he has become one with the totality. And Paramrita Parimuchyanti Sarve, becoming immortal, they become detached from all, and they become one with all. So there are many examples. So they say the Vyashti becomes part of the Samashti, which we will cover in detail in the next mantra, how the individual becomes part of the totality. And they do that by knowledge, not by blindly following the guru. Yes, you have to learn from the guru, but what some people do, oh, my guru has a long beard, so I'll grow a long beard. My guru walks like this, talks like this. You don't have to copy his physical mannerisms. Get the knowledge which made the guru realize. Go after the shastra, not after the guru's body. The example they give is like if a fish is swimming through water, can you tell where it has swum? No, it does not leave a mark in the water, or a bird swimming, a bird flying in the air does not leave a mark. So, same way, you have to go after the knowledge, not after what the guru is doing. Guru is like that he has, again, no connection. He's like the fish or like the bird, where becomes one with the totality, does not get attached. That's why some of these Mahatmas, they only stay in the place only for a short while. Why? They do not want to become attached to one place. So same way, this person remains unattached and sees the Brahman everywhere. And again, reaching, as we said, is knowing my immortal nature, becoming immortal. People think becoming immortal means this person lives forever and never gives up this body. No, body has to be given up. Even Bhagwan Shri Krishna, Bhagwan Shri Rama, when they took physical body, after a certain number of years, Shri Krishna lived for 125 years. And they have to drop this body. So the body is not immortal, but the Atma, the self, that is called becoming immortal. And Parimuchyanti Sarve, they become totally liberated from all physical attachments, emotional attachments, intellectual attachments. Only by knowing who am I. They have to know who I am, they have to know the self. So there was this boy who went to school, and the teacher was a math teacher. She asked him, if you have $10 and if you give $5 to your friend, how many will you have? He said, I'll have $10. She said, listen, You have $10. You give $5 to your friend. How many will you have? He said, I'll have $10. So she says, you don't know your math. He says, you don't know me. So this person knows who he is and is always, his knowledge is very clear, like that boy who knew who he was. So, like that, this person knows who he is, but does not know himself only in the body, mind, intellect, but knows of himself as the Atma. I am the consciousness. I am the Atma. At this moment, temporarily, I am occupying this body. See, that's how one should, that this body is my equipment, just as my car, I take care of my car, have it serviced, oil, fuel, all that. So same with this body, you take care of it. When it's sick, go to the doctor. But do not say, I am the body. I am the owner of this body. This body is my equipment. And when it is time to give up, theek hai, I'll give it up and get a new body. Just as when your car, you give up, you get a new car until you reach enlightenment. And the goal of this life should be that I do not want another body. I want to get enlightened in this life itself. Whatever time I have, I put effort in that. And Bhagwan in the sixth chapter says that if even in this life, if you don't reach, but if you have progressed significantly to your goal, then I'll make sure you are born in the house of yogis where you can continue your journey. And that's what we see, that a lot of these Mahatmas were born in the house of very wise people, where they had a lot of, like Swami Chinmayananda Puja Gurudev was born in a very religious family where there were a lot of pujas and a lot of worship, and both his parents were very, very evolved people. So that's how Bhagwan makes sure you get that. So now in the seventh mantra is how a realized master leaves this body and how does he or she. It's very, very beautiful mantra. It is connected with Prashnopanishad also, where they talk about the 16 kala, 16 kala purusha. In the Prashnopanishad, the last question the student asks is about the master who has 16 kala purusha. So here, the 16 kala is mentioned as 15, and they say 15 plus Atma. Atma is the 16th. So that is the 16 kala purusha. Atma is the self. So Sujata, you have that? Gata kala panchadasha pratishtha.
panchadasa pratishtha
Devascha sarve pratidevatasu.
देवाश्च सर्वे प्रतिदेवतासु
कर्माणि विज्ञानमयश्च आत्मा
कर्माणि विज्ञानमयश्च आत्मा
परे व्यये सर्वे सर्व एकी भवन्ति.
परेरव्यये सर्वे एकिं भवन्ति
गदत गता कला पञ्चदश प्रतिष्ठाः देवाश्च सर्वे प्रतिदेवतासु कर्माणि विज्ञानमयश्च आत्मा परे व्यये सर्व एकी भवन्ति. सो इन द फर्स्ट लाइन प्रतिष्ठा द विसर्ग इज गॉन, दैट इज बिकॉज ऑफ संधि रूल. बट प्रतिष्ठा द पंचदशा द 15 कलास आर प्रतिष्ठा आर एस्टैब्लिश्ड. So gata kala, so the kalas are gone. How many? 15 kalas which are in this individual, gata, they are gone. And their devas become one with all the devas. Then their karmas and their knowledge becomes where? One with the
Total.
Atma, the Pare, the Supreme Imperishable Atma. Sarve eki bhavanti. Sarve is missing because of not, it's not a typo again, it is Sanskrit Sandhi rule. Sarve becomes sarvat because there is a vowel aki after that. So these people, their 15 kalas become one with the totality, their devas become one with devas, their karmas and their knowledge becomes one with Atma, and they become one with totality. Now they see, if you don't have a guru, they say, what is this 15 kalas and what do you mean that devtas become one with devtas? So that's why the Upanishads, all this spiritual literature, has to be learnt at the feet of a guru. So gata kalaha, so their kala, 15 kalas are mentioned in this. Some people say 15, some people say 16, or some people say 15 plus Atma. So what are the 15 kalas? So the first is prana. Prana means the creator, Brahmaji, the creator. Then that is the creator. Then then it is faith. A person should have faith in himself, in faith in this knowledge. Like before you get on a plane, you have faith that, oh, the pilot is well trained, hasn't been drinking, and the equipment maintenance has been done correctly. So same way, they have faith in this knowledge, faith in themselves, and faith in the guru, and faith in Bhagwan. Four things: faith in God, faith in guru, faith in scriptures, and faith in themselves. Then the creation, if you in Tattva Bodha, if you see the creation, it is stepwise. First there is space, then air, then fire, then water, then earth. So that is how, from most subtle to the most gross. So that's how these five elements make up every being. Not only humans, but even rocks, stones, everything are made of air, space, fire, water, earth.
Seven.
Then the senses, the sarva deva. Deva here does not mean the gods in heaven like Indra and Varuna and all. Deva means the sense organs and the ability to see. That means when my eyes see, there is something which is the ability to see. That is, you can say, like the nerve, like the optic nerve for the eye, the auditory nerve for the ear. So there is the ability to see, the ability to hear, ability to smell, taste, touch. So the inner equipment which is responsible for the function. The eye otherwise is just a hole, you know, and has, of course, lenses. But unless this ability to see is there, the eye is useless. And same with the ear. And then after that, what is next after sense is the mind. Because all this information, the mind integrates. So like if somebody is walking towards me and he's carrying a knife, then I say, okay, I hear that, okay, this person is walking, and I see in his hand there's a knife, and then he's has threatening language, he's very angry and shouting. So then my ears, my eyes, my mind, all that information is coordinated. And how is the mind nourished? By food. Food is the next one. Then food gives strength, and strength gives thought. So thoughts can only happen when there is food. That's why if you have been fasting for a long time, your ability to think logically, if you're overdoing fasting, goes down. And then with the thought come mantras. So systematic thinking by the rishis gave us the mantras. And then the mantras gave rituals. And because of karmas, because of rituals, the world that you and I have, each one of us makes the world based on our karmas, as we said, what kind of, not only in this world, but also our subsequent world. And then the 16th is names. It means name and form, or the 16th is Atma. Then Devascha, so all the gross elements merge. That's why when the person is cremated or buried, his gross body becomes one with the total gross body, the five elements, and his subtle body and mind. For you and me, if we are not enlightened, then you will keep taking repeat. It will go, it will not go any, it will just go to another body. the subtle mind and intellect will go to heaven or hell and then find another body. It's like you change your house, you move from here to the coast. So same way, you keep moving, but a realized master, his subtle body becomes one with the total mind. And then his sense organs becomes one with the total, the total totality. So his sense ability to see the mind, the intellect, everything
Devadas,
merges with
the
the
power.
totality. And karmas, what happens to the wise person? Actually, they say this mantra should be chanted if a realized master is giving up his body and you happen to be there. This is the mantra to chant, where his karmas end. His sanchit karmas are gone, agami karmas. He has no past karmas, no future karmas, because the ego that had the karmas is gone, and even his prarabdha karma are finished. And vijnanamaya, as we said, vijnana means the intellect, the mind becomes one with the total mind. So they give example, like they say, like I'm standing in front of a mirror, so I am there and my reflection is there. Now, if the mirror is removed, what happens to the reflection? It goes back into me. It was actually never away from me. Or when the sun is reflected in a bucket of water, when the water dries, the reflection, it just goes back to the sun. The same way, their subtle body goes one to becomes one with the total body. And that happens to us daily in our sleep also. We go into that laya, into that unmanifest state where our mind and our senses are withdrawn and our body becomes inactive. But of course, that is a temporary state. Then you will take another birth and you will continue your life. But for this realized master, there is no coming and going. His subtle body merges with the totality. His gross body becomes one with the gross elements. And such a person, and his atma, the consciousness, has nowhere to go because atma is everywhere. So that's why Bhagwan says, na natvevaham jatu nasam natvam neme janadhipaha na chaiva bhavishyamaha. So Bhagwan says, you and me and these kings here, he tells Arjun in the second chapter, there was never a time when they were not there. They were always there. They are here and they will always be in the future. But Arjun, you are so attached to their body. You're so identified with your own body and with other bodies that you think that these will die. But he says two things. One is that, for example, Drona and Bhishma, they are such noble souls that they will never perish. Even today, we respect, when we read Mahabharata, we respect Dronacharya, we respect Bhishma Pitama, even though they were on the side of Kauravas, but they were very noble souls. And so, same way, when a wise, or like these Mahatmas, Jesus died 2,000 years ago. We still remember him. Buddha 2,500 years ago. Shankaracharya Ji, Mahatma Gandhi. All these wise people, even if they have given up their body, but they always remain immortal. But that is at the level of the body, mind, intellect. But at the level of Atma, we all are immortal. We never perish. And they say, how does creation happen? How do I become identified? The subtle body enters into the mother's womb in the, around the second, third month, and then becomes identified with the body. How do we get identified? So they say there are two theories. One is called Pratibimba, and second is called Avacheda. Pratibimba means reflection, and avacheda means conditioning. So reflection is, as we said, the sun shining on the bucket of water, and then that bucket of water starts thinking, I am the sun. And then that bucket of water can reflect into the room and give us light. So that bucket of water, because of the reflection of the sun, gets light and then it can illumine. So if the room is dark, but there is water outside, and if the sun is reflected, the light can come in the room. So same way, the consciousness within us is reflected in the mind and intellect. That is called chidabhasa, reflection of consciousness. So the consciousness reflected in the mind and intellect illumines that, gives life to that subtle body. And then the subtle body is able to innervate the gross body. And that's how the individual functions. So that is one. That is called pratibimba, or the reflection of consciousness, called chidabhasa. Chida means consciousness, abhasa means reflection of consciousness. We have all heard the word chidabhas. That's what it means. And the second is avacheda, which is conditioning. Conditioning example is, again, we come back to that space in the pot. See, the space in the pot says, I am a limited space. I am so small. I am in this little pot. And then, there is a bigger pot, and that bigger pot is bigger than me, better than me. And then there is the room space, and then there is total space. I am so limited. That's how we think, that I am limited, because we identify with this body. And that is called conditioning, that I am in this body. The correct understanding is body is in me. I am not in the body, but body is in me. Atma is, it's not that in the body there is mind, intellect, and then in the middle of the heart there is some small Atma sitting somewhere, and I have to meditate upon it. That Atma is all pervading, and that is who I am. So the body is in me. I am not in the body. So when you think that I am this limited creature, and my name is this, and I am this nationality, this community, I'm Hindu, Christian, Indian, all those, then you are conditioning yourself. You are limiting yourself by your conditioning. All these are conditioning, whether I'm a male or a female, young or old, I'm white or Asian or Indian, whether I am short, tall, healthy, unhealthy, intelligent, all these are my conditioning. So if you identify with the conditioning, you get limited. So spirituality is to get out of the conditioning and reach the highest state of oneness. So here we can see that in the first mantra, we saw the benefit of getting this knowledge. In the second one, we talked about wise people, how they got liberated. And third one is talked about how wise people leave this body, and how they, when they, at the time of death, how they give up this body. So here we'll end. We have about 10 minutes. If anybody has any questions, comments.
Anil ji, what goes with subtle body after death?
Subtle body and the vasanas and the karmas, based on the karmas and based on the vasanas, the subtle body goes. So based on the vasanas and the karmas are the propelling factor. And the vasanas go because then the next child is born with certain predisposition tendencies.
How about mind and intellect?
Mind and intellect is the subtle body.
Is the
That
subtle body.
is the subtle body. Yes, that
Okay, thank you.
mind and intellect goes. And that's why each a child in the same family, you may have three children, and each one is so different. One likes art, one likes science, and third one likes nothing. So all three types of children you have. So that's how each child is completely unique. That's what somebody said, each child is a
Just thought of.
new thought of God. God's new thought is each child. So that's why you look at each child as Bhagwan himself has come here. So yeah. So it's the mind and intellect which travels, and it is the Udana prana, which has the energy which throws the subtle body out, the mind and intellect. And based on my vasanas and my karmas, I get a new body. If I had a great desire, if I'm a male and I wanted to be a female, then next life I'll be born female. And if some female said, no, I want to be a man, then next life you'll be born as a man. So best is to don't have too many strong desires or vasanas.
What happened to the people all around world who do not read Vedanta, or who do not, how they get liberation?
Well,
We
then,
are getting the path, knowing this, and if we do this, we are on the right path.
well, Vedanta,
What
but
the other people?
well, even the Bible and all the ideas are very similar. There they say, oh, he becomes one with God and lives, forever in heaven. In Bible, in Quran, they say, oh, he becomes goes and lives with Allah. So similar concepts are there, but in Vedanta there is a lot more clarity, I think. Again, I haven't read that much in detail, but all of these were revealed by great masters. Jesus himself was enlightened, Buddha, Mahavir. So yeah, so all of the spiritual literature has similar ideas, but I think Vedanta makes it the most clear. And that's my opinion.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for those questions. Good questions. Anybody else?
I think the pranas meet with the total, the deities of the each prana goes to the deity of that prana,
Right.
totality.
Right.
So I think that I don't think.
Yeah, the pranas merge with the total pranas. Yes, the
No,
deity.
even all the sense organs, the deities, there is a deity for the eye, there is a deity for that. So they merge with
Yeah.
their own deities.
Yeah, I had mentioned that, but little
Yeah.
more explanation. The devas become one with the totas. That means the ability to see here, because each one has a deity. Like the deity of the eyes is the sun, the deity of ear is space. So they merge with the totality. Yes. So Vyashti merges with Samashti.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true. Thank you. Yeah. So the senses merge with the devtas. Joyce, you have a question or comment?
I was just going to say or ask, I guess, even though a person hasn't studied Vedanta and they're doing all these things that they should be doing, but they do not believe necessarily, or they do not believe in rebirth. So that person is still going to experience rebirth, even though they haven't studied Vedanta.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes, the rebirth will continue to happen till you become enlightened. So you know what they say, he lives with God in heaven, then that is a rare person who becomes enlightened. And why with the knowledge, with the right effort.
Even in heaven, they go, they come back after
Yeah.
they
Yes.
exhaust all their good karmas, they come back
Right.
to
Well,
heaven.
rebirth just makes sense in a lot of ways.
Yes,
Even
it
if you haven't studied Vedanta, you see in nature and all kinds of things the rebirth of everything around you. All the nature things dying and then being reborn again and coming back in another form or whatsoever. But then you study Vedanta and you realize that, yes, we're taking these vasanas, these karmas, these desires with us into the next body, unless we, as the way I understand it, unless we purify the mind and attach to Atman.
Right.
And even if we do that in this way, like if you're a Jiva Mokta, if you have Jiva Moksha,
Yes.
so that means that you're alive or you're in your body, but yet you have moksha. In other words, you have the bliss and all the attributes and all the gifts of the connection with the Atman.
Right.
If you're working towards that, and I mean by doing your yogas, all the yogas, the meditation, the devotion to God, and the way I understand it, the devotion to Brahman or the Atman is at most important, that desire
Right.
for nothing else but that.
And then understanding that Atma or Brahman is not separate from me. See, when you say God, when the particular form, say Bhagwan Shri Krishna or Vishnu or Father in heaven, then if you have a particular God, then
Sure,
that
yeah.
the duality, that is dual.
That's a
But
duality.
Buddha says that you are actually one. In this life itself, you have to understand, yeah, I am that. I am Brahman, I am the Atma, and abide in that and live with that ideas.
Comes with practice and total desire and
Yeah, practice, desire, and detachment.
yes, most important,
Detachment
yes.
is very important. You have to have an intense desire for liberation. See, the desire, mumukshutvam, cannot be lukewarm, cannot be, okay, if I get it, fine, if not, fine, not like that. It's like when your hair is on fire, you don't say, well, I'll put water in my hair in my next life or tomorrow. You know, you run to the the river or the lake and dip your hair, that intense desire you should have. That's why that's the famous saint, when somebody wanted liberation, Swami Vivekananda, when somebody came to him, he was taking a bath in the river, and this man came and said, I would like liberation. So Swamiji took his head and put it under the water, and Swamiji was very strong, and the person was struggling. He couldn't get his head out, and until finally he was almost, he tried, he couldn't, and finally when he was just about to be like, just go on, then he let him go. So he said, what are you doing? I came asking for liberation. He said, when you were underwater, were you thinking about your wife, children, money, property? No, what were you thinking? I want to breathe, I want to breathe. So same way, that much you should have the thought, I want liberation. So that's how intense it should be.
You.
Thank you. Thank you for the question. Anybody else? So next week will be the last talk of this Upanishad. There are four mantras. I'll cover them next week. And then the week after that, week after that will be, I don't know. Yeah, we have one more class. Yeah, December 9th will be the last class. And then the December 16th, I will summarize this entire Upanishad in 1 hour. Just go through, keep your Upanishad books with you, and I'll say in this chapter, in this mantra, that's what the Rishi says. And if you don't want to, you can even just listen. But we will summarize the entire Upanishad in December 16, and then in January we'll begin some other text. So that it timing works out perfectly, because in December 16 we'll finish the Mundak Upanishad, and it's very long and lot of mantras, lot of chapters. So and people, I mean, I myself, some of the ideas, it's good to always revise. So that's what we'll do, and then we'll be. After 16 December, 2 weeks, there won't be any class because of Christmas. Then we'll meet in January. Okay, thank you. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. हरि ओम श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम.